Episode 93, Digital Marketing and Doing More with Less.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast, the only podcast giving you actionable skills and advice you need to execute a strategic PR program. Warning. What you hear next may lead to brand awareness and increased sales and customer exposure. Now here's your host, Ringini Joshua.
Hello and welcome to episode 93. Today we're going to be talking about the state of digital marketing, what's going on, and doing more with less data. We are going to be interviewing the CEO of Stub Group, John Horn. Hi, John. Nice of you to join us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit more about doing more with less, but first let's do a quick intro, just kind of on your background and Stub Group a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So here at Stub Group, we're a digital advertising agency. We work with all different types of businesses to create and manage their campaigns online. We work with platforms, including Google and Facebook and others. And at the end of the day, like you said, doing more with less, we're entrusted to steward our clients' ad budgets and figure out how to maximize their profitability and squeeze every dollar out of them that we can.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people are doing right now. And I feel like the last year or year and a half, it's kind of been like that, where people are trying to figure out this like new nuance of just being online and it's becoming a very crowded environment. So can you tell us a little bit more about like kind of what's going on and what are the trends that are going on in digital advertising today that people are small businesses or any businesses are having some challenges with?
Yeah, well, you still have a scenario, of course, where there's a couple big players that eat up essentially all of the space online for ad budgets, or at least painting widely with the wide brush. So Google and Facebook, of course, owning Instagram as well. That's where you really have to be for most businesses in order to connect with customers online, because they're either searching for you on Google or they're spending their time on Facebook or Instagram or other platforms like that. And so there are pros and cons to that. Pros are you can focus your time into a couple of areas and focus your budget and try to maximize things there. Cons are that you're also at the whims of a couple of big tech platforms. And if they make changes to their algorithm or their policies or, you know, anything along those lines, then that can have a significant impact on advertising your own business and what you can or can't do. So I think one of the significant things that I'm seeing right now in this space is, as let's say Google or Facebook, as they change their advertising policies, a lot of businesses are not necessarily keeping up with that and are seeing things like ad disapprovals or sometimes even account suspensions where they're getting kicked off the platforms because they have accidentally or unintentionally, you know, done something that is not in accordance with those policies.
So that's the problem like we faced a lot before too as well. And just wondering, like, I know when we were doing a lot of Facebook advertising, that's a huge pain in the butt to keep up with the changes. Do you guys have any best practice in keeping up with what's changing?
Yeah, well, you got the obvious, of course, of, you know, just follow Google's blogs and Google what they're announcing as other changes, as well as other industry news sources like, say, Search Engine Land, things like that. And then I would say, in addition to that, too, it's making sure that you're keeping even your websites up to date. We see this constantly with clients where they're focused on executing for their own, you know, their own clients, their own customers, doing the work they're being hired to do. And they're not remembering to make sure that their website's up to date, that if they, you know, change their address, that they've changed their address on their website, or that they've got the right privacy policies or things like that. So things that don't sound like a big deal, but that actually end up being a very big deal when you see that red bar of death in your account and Google has flagged, you know, something about your website or your account that they don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough one. There's so many different areas of this that we can explore, but I think one of the things is, you know, people just diving into ads for first time. And I think what I'd like to talk about a little bit is maybe kind of getting into digital marketing and how do you choose which platforms are right for you and what path you should be going. I know at one point we were recommending, like, you know, we work a lot with crowdfunding campaigns and we don't recommend they do Google ads because it's not very good for short-term return. But how do you identify which platforms are going to be right for your business as you're diving into Google ads or any ads? Sorry.
Yeah, that's a great question. So a couple of the high level things we look at first are, at the very basic, are people searching for what you are currently selling? So if they are searching for the product or service you sell, Google may be a good fit because obviously it's a search engine. And so you're able to appear as a solution to people when they need what they're, you know, what you sell. But if you are, let's say you've got a new product, maybe you're a lifestyle brand, you're trying to build awareness or build interest in a new product, Google's probably not going to be a great place because if people aren't searching for that, then it's a moot point. You know, it's not the place to be. So maybe Facebook or Instagram or, you know, YouTube, some other channel where you can actually identify your target audience, whether that be demographics or behaviors or whatever that may be, and then start to create awareness. And like you said, with the crowdfunding, you know, space, say, hey, here's what we've got. This is cool. This is great. You know, come check it out and come support us. So I'd say that's one just kind of very high level thing we'll think through when a new client comes to us. But also it's a matter of figuring out what are your goals for advertising your new business. Are you looking to capture market share? Or are you looking to turn a profit as quickly as possible? You know, are you what is it that you're looking to do? And that's going to dictate A, how much you can invest into different advertising channels, and then B, which ones are going to be the best bang for your buck. And that's the type of conversation we'll have with you know, with new clients who reach out to us.
So that brings up a few different questions for me. I'm going to start with the money question because I feel like that's a question that everybody already has, always has. What is like a good budget? What is a good starting budget? Like, a lot of people come to me and like, I don't know the budget. What should it be?
Yeah, that's a question we get asked all the time.
Yeah,
I always push back and turn that question around to the client because, of course, it completely depends, again, on their goals and their situation.
Yeah.
So a couple of things, I try to give them a framework to think through. So A, there's usually going to be a minimum budget where if you can't invest at least that, it's not going to be worth your time to spend time in a platform because you're just not going to be able to collect enough data to see what works or what doesn't work. And what that budget is going to be very different, you know, per business. If you're, say, a very local plumber, you have a very limited number of people who you want to reach, and you want to reach people who are searching for your business when they have a leaky faucet, whatever, well, that's going to be one budget level. If you are, you know, a national e-commerce brand trying to sell high price point products to people all over the place, well, that may be a very different entry point in order to, again, figure out how do we collect enough data to make statistically significant decisions about what is working or isn't working, the strategies. So we'll have that conversation. And then also, and this is a conversation that we have with a lot of clients who frankly have not had this conversation before they come to us. It's thinking through their margins and thinking through what are their goals, again, for their advertising, and even what, you know, what return on ad spend do they need in order to be profitable. Oftentimes we'll have a client come to us and say, hey, we want whatever, you know, 5x return on ad spend. And we'll say, why? They'll say, I don't know. Sounds good. And so we'll say, okay, well, let's look at your numbers, your margins, figure out, is that even profitable for you? Or is it so profitable that we could get you, you know, 3x and be more aggressive and get you more total orders and more total profit and still be profitable for you? That's very much a conversation that's unique to every business that reaches out.
Yeah, that's always a challenging thing when people ask us that, because, you know, I agree with you. It makes sense. And, you know, what are you targeting? Okay, so then what about a different question? How about how long does it take to collect the data to determine what we should be doing next?
Another good question. I would say, so there's kind of the rule of thumb and there's nuances to it, but our rule of thumb we typically say to new clients is we should try for at least 3 months. And that allows us to, you know, have a couple of months of beginnings and ends of months and in-betweens months to figure out, okay, are there seasonal trends? Not so much seasonal, but are there trends even throughout the month that may impact whether people are purchasing from the client? And also gives us some time to create a trajectory and say, we tested this, this didn't work as well. Or we tested this, hey, it's working great. Let's double down. Uh-huh. So generally, you know, 3 months is what we aim for, but it's also very much impacted by how much budget is being invested. The more you're spending, the faster you collect data. And so the faster you can make decisions, but also the faster you can waste money if it's not doing well. So it's always that balancing act of trying to figure out where that water level should be.
So, okay, this is going to turn into like a sales pitch pretty quickly, because I want to answer the questions that I think a lot of people have. 3 months seems like a lot of time to invest in something that you don't know how well it's working, or you're analyzing for 3 months. What if people don't have that kind of runway? Should they forego doing advertising, or is there another thing they could do that give them a little bit more insight before they get started, like in a full program?
Yeah, I'm a big believer of looking at the lowest hanging fruit. So for any business, as you're thinking through, where can I get the best bang for my buck? Mm-hmm. figure out, A, what channels do I have that are available that don't cost money for me to invest in? You know, what do I have network? Can I, you know, work with influencers? Can I, you know, what are the ways to get orders and data coming into for free, or quote unquote free, just for the investment of time and energy? And then that's also data that can be helpful in, I'd say, fast tracking the success of advertising campaigns, for example. Mm. So if it's figuring out, oh, people are reacting to this message differently, well then, you know, customizing that messaging and then using that messaging in ad campaigns and continuing to test, that can again shortcut how much money you have to spend to generate that data. So I think that's a part of it. I do think for most businesses, you know, if you're not willing to at least write it out for at least, I'd say, 2 to 3 months, then you probably shouldn't jump in. Now, when I say write it out, I don't mean, you know, put up with a horrible relationship or horrible, just, you know, no trajectory of improving performance. And you can start to see very early on with PPC campaigns what is or isn't happening, because you can see obviously how much traffic is coming to the website. You can see, are the search terms relevant or not relevant that people are searching to get to your website if you're doing Google search campaigns, for example. You can see how long are people engaged with your website if you're using Google Analytics. So if you see, you know, absolutely horrible data right out of the gate, well, that might be an indicator of maybe you're working with the wrong partner, or you've got the wrong strategy and you need to quickly pivot. But if you are starting to see the right needle moving, or movements rather, in that first month to 2 months, then that's when you should say, okay, well, let's keep, you know, collecting the data and see how we can optimize towards that profitability number we're trying to hit.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's always a question of people who come to us. They always want things with speed, right? Like we work with the startups and small businesses where they're like so worried about it. What would you say? I mean, okay, so you gave us a few kind of initial tips, but like, as far as platforms go, is there some kind of like formula to figuring out which platform would work best? Like, is there, like, typically people do LinkedIn if they're this, or they do Instagram if they're that. What is your formula for that?
Yeah, there's definitely some platforms that are, you know, better suited to some types of businesses than others. So good examples would be if you're in the local services industry, let's say, mm-hmm. HVAC or plumber or something like that, where you're responding to a need that's usually right now, you probably want to be in Google search, because people, they're not really hanging around liking Facebook pages for a plumber. It's more, oh, my pipes are leaking, I need somebody right now. Right. Whereas if you're, let's say, you're a lifestyle brand and you are selling, you know, clothing, and you're trying to generate interest in your clothing, and people are going to see, oh, that looks beautiful, let me save that and come back to another day, that kind of thing. That could be a great fit for Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, things like that. Similarly too, in the business space, LinkedIn can be a good fit there, because people are in a, you know, business mindset when they're on LinkedIn. Obviously you've got lots of great business data that you can leverage in the targeting there. And so, yeah, that can be a great fit, especially if you're maybe trying to target very specific people or very specific job titles or specific companies, that mm-hmm. can be a place that gives you more abilities than most other platforms.
Do you find that most clients that you have do like a combination of targeting different people in different platforms, or do they kind of all start in one spot and then, I don't know, go to another spot?
Definitely a combination. I would say the majority of our clients typically start with Google, because mm-hmm. often there is lowest hanging fruit there of, okay, capturing people who are searching for what we sell or searching maybe for competitors and being able to, to grab that traffic. And then building beyond that, okay, well, now let's go to Facebook and let's target people who are in our target audience and try and create that interest and get them to our website, and then so forth and so on.
Is there any way I can get you to drop like a suggested minimum amount on Google, or like a suggested minimum amount, just so people can get an idea? Because like at this point we have, let's pretend like we have zero idea of pricing. It could be $100. It could be $5,000. Like, what is like the minimum number to just see some kind of movement that you should be willing to invest?
I'd say for most businesses at a bare minimum, we'd say $1,000 per month on Google.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a few exceptions now and there, but usually, you know, bare minimum 1,000, better would be 2,000 and up. And then again, for some clients, you know,
could be a lot higher than that. And is that the same for all platforms or not really? Like, is it different? Like on LinkedIn, I want to say we talked to a LinkedIn, like, you know, they give you an account manager sometimes. And I think he mm-hmm. said like at least $50 a day, which is definitely, I don't even know what that is a month, but I'm sure it's easy to calculate. But yeah, I mean, he was giving me that number. Mm-hmm. He mentioned specifically the daily amount, not necessarily a monthly amount. Is there something like that on LinkedIn and Instagram as well?
Yeah, for LinkedIn, I'd probably go somewhere in that $50 per day. I'd very much look at how big is the audience we're targeting. We've got some clients who, hey, there's a very, very few people in the world who actually meet their criteria, but they're very valuable. And so we might go after all those people, but we can't spend much money just because there aren't many people to click on the ads. So that might be a smaller amount. But I'd say, you know, $50 a day probably would be a good minimum for LinkedIn. For Facebook and Instagram, I would say, so ideally $100 per day. I would say if you have to go lower than that, get away with probably $50 a day, but $100 a day would definitely be better.
And like, what should you know? What are the must-haves when targeting your groups? Like, what key insights do you have to know? I mean, I know there's so many things that you can identify now. So what are the key things that you should really have a grasp on?
Well, I think on the messaging side of things, even separate from the technicality of targeting and picking the audience, but on the messaging side of things, knowing what are their pain points, what is it that is actually going to make them interested, obviously, in your ad, sure, click through when they see it. And sometimes those pain points, understanding those can even be helpful on the targeting side, because taking Google as an example, if you know, we have a client who they have a software that helps people with things that they're often searching for, how to do this in Excel, for example. They might have a bunch of different questions, how to do this in Excel. Well, the software solves that problem. So if we target people who are searching these questions, these pain points, how do I do X, Y, and Z formula in Excel? And we say, hey, stop spending your life in Excel, come use this software. That's, you know, that's perfect targeting. So that's one thing. I would say, you know, understanding certainly the demographics of your target audience. Are they young? Are they older? Are they everywhere? You know, do they have kids? Obviously, if you're selling a product to parents, well, you'd want to focus on people who are interested in parenting and liking parenting, you know, groups on Facebook or have that as their parental status, things like that. So just figuring out their pain points, you know, their demographics, and then two, where are they spending time on the internet? If all of your customers are spending time on TikTok and you're trying to reach them through Google Ads, you're in the wrong place.
What about like, because I guess the question I had was a little bit more specific, maybe to LinkedIn, because in LinkedIn, you can pick so many different things. You can pick job titles, you can pick interests, you can do this on Facebook too. How do you know which ones to pick? Like, which ones are the right ones and how many should you have? Like, is it more the better or does more confuse it? I don't know. Like, what is the kind of trick with that? That targeting.
Yeah. Well, it is very much a science and an art, which is why, which is why everyone's got a different perspective on this. You know, what I aim for is trying to find a sweet spot between giving enough data, enough users in a list for, let's say, LinkedIn or Facebook to work with. So on the Facebook side, I'll often run audiences that are, you know, 1 to 2 million people in size. If there are that many people in the country who are relevant to the product or service I'm selling. And by doing that, you're giving Facebook the ability to look through a bunch of different data and say, okay, yeah, these people have these patterns. These people don't have these patterns. Sometimes if you've really hyper-focused too much and you're down to, I've got 50 people on my list, Facebook A might not serve your ads. B, you might start to see your cost per click or CPMs go way, way up. And C, you might just be missing out on a lot of people that Facebook can identify for you because they have so much information on the back end. I think same thing applies to LinkedIn as well. I'm a big fan of lookalike audiences, of uploading data to the platforms and saying, hey, Facebook, for example, this is my customer list. These are the people who have taken the action I want them to take. Now go create an audience of people who look similar to these people. And
how big does that audience have to be to make it relevant?
The one you upload, I would say, yes, at least 100 records and higher. You don't need.
And would it be like, I guess you would have to, what info do you have to know? Because if you have their email address, you may not have a list that's structured properly. Like, what information do you have to have in that list to upload it for lookalike to work?
At a bare minimum, it's just email address. You could also have phone address or not phone address, phone number, for example. But yeah, at a bare minimum, you could upload a list of email addresses to Facebook.
And it'll Facebook. Just search it basically.
Yeah, they'll look at all the Facebook profiles that have email addresses and say, okay, these are all match up. And you can't see data about those users yourself through the Facebook platform because of privacy matters. But on the back end,
but they can
Facebook
find
says,
it.
Exactly.
What about for LinkedIn? Patterns.
Same idea for LinkedIn. You can upload email addresses and same thing.
I always find LinkedIn so tricky because you don't know what email their LinkedIn is associated. It's usually with their personal email and their job email usually like mine, I think mine is now associated with both. And I think now you can do it with both. But before, I think I remember that mine was just associated with my personal email and my work email wasn't even on there. So like, depending on what job I had, you wouldn't have any idea. And usually, you know, when, as far as I'm just going to use myself as an example, if we're vetting as a PR firm and we have someone's email at their job, it may not match up to what they have on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's definitely a challenge that can be hard to solve if you don't have a way to connect those data points sometimes.
Or if you're not connected with them or something like that, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is like a really interesting world. I know it's like a rabbit hole of information. What would you say, you know, for a company that, let's say not for an agency like ours, but a company that's a startup that is trying to now start developing brand awareness using a PR agency, we have a lot of times they give us questions like, how do we use our PR to incorporate that into digital marketing? Do you have any ideas on, you know, what you guys can do with that kind of stuff where, let's say we got them a placement in a, you know, Forbes or something. How do you use that article for digital media?
Totally. Well, there's a lot of credibility that can come, of course, from getting in Forbes or other you know, platforms. And so I would often encourage clients to, let's say, create Facebook posts, for example, and then pay to boost those posts out to people. And instead of it being a hard sell of, hey, come sell our product, no, it's more of you're creating that awareness of, hey, we were featured in Forbes for X, Y, and Z, or hey, read this interesting article, and start actually providing valuable content to people through the articles that you're sharing that were put in different PR placements. And at the same time, you're building your name as someone who's maybe a thought leader in that space, someone who down the road, when they say, oh, I need a resource for X, Y, and Z. Oh yeah. I've been reading this, you know, this company is my go-to. They're the first one that comes to mind. So that's one way. And then also too, on the website, let's say, if you're running any kind of advertising to a website, having a bar at the top saying as featured in, you know, but Forbes, so forth and so on, that's helpful from the credibility aspect.
I don't know why we haven't done that. That just reminded me, we should put that. Definitely common mistakes that people make when they are, you know, diving into this digital marketing stuff. So what is a big mistake that you can make that would backfire?
I think a big mistake is relying too much on DIY. And this is something that Google and Facebook very much, you know, try and push. Like, hey, it's super easy to come set up and spend money with us.
Yeah.
And it is super easy to come set up and spend money, but it's not super easy to do it in a way that's probably going to earn you money. You know, it's very easy to spend money, but there's so many potential ways that you can click a button and accidentally opt into something you didn't plan to opt into, or is not going to be a good use for your money. And you've got, you know, no clue if you're new to the platform.
Oh, so I lost $300 on Yelp, and I don't even know why I would be on Yelp. It was like, I pushed a wrong button and then they took $300. So I was like, I have no idea what just happened.
I totally believe it. Yeah. So it's one of those things where, yeah, do you want to spend your money learning on your own ads through wasted ad spend, or do you want to spend your money, you know, hiring someone who knows what they're doing to help you, again, jumpstart that timeline and get past those initial learnings and figure out what should my strategy be? And again, even what channel should I be on? You know, should I even be setting up Google Ads campaigns? Or is my money better spent on Facebook or TikTok? So I think just that DIY aspect is something I see, you know, clients wasting a lot of money on.
Yeah.
And then I think also going back to the timeline conversation we had, a lot of businesses look at advertising as a magic bullet. I'm going to spend some money and immediately the orders, the customers are going to just pour in and I'm going to make so much more money. And hey, every now and then that happens and that's awesome. But, you know, things don't usually come easily. You've got to really have a good strategy in place, execute on it well, and then build it up over time. And then over time, you will start to see those good results come in.
Those are excellent points. I have a question that finally stemmed from this question is that, you know, in PR, I can probably PR anything. I've been doing it for so long. And I think that just comes with experience. However, you know, obviously we specialize in startups and technology companies and cannabis companies. So do you guys, like when you choose a person to help you with digital marketing, let's say I decided like, I can't do it myself. I'm not going to waste money. I'm going to do it the right way. Is there those kinds of facets? What should you be looking for in someone who can help you?
Yeah, a few things to look for, I would say, would be A, just what is their credibility online, we live in a great age where you can leave reviews and just go do some research, do some digging and see, are people reviewing this potential partner you're looking at? Are they leaving good reviews, bad reviews, et cetera? I would also try and get a sense for where, who will be working on your account if you're working with them. So some agencies, they have a bunch of really low level people who have 150 accounts and they're spending 5 minutes on it, every week per account. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a churn and burn game. And
I ran across somebody. I was like interviewing for a position and there, I was like, how many, so one of the questions was, how many accounts can you handle? And they're like 30. And I'm like, there's no way anybody can handle 30, like not in what we do. There's no way you can handle 30 accounts unless you're not doing anything. Right. So I find that crazy, like that 100, and I've seen that in digital marketing companies that we've interviewed to work with us, that they're handling like just a crazy number of accounts and just seems like impossible to do good work with that kind of account load.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so trying to get a sense for how they structure things in that way. And then I would say also figuring out if the people on your team understand the local market, just geographically that you're in. When I say local, I don't mean the city, even their state necessarily, but there's, again, a lot of agencies out there who have just a ton of people in, let's say, India or the Philippines or wherever. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. They can do great work. But if you're looking for very, if you have, let's say you're a business to business and you have ad copy that needs to be carefully curated, and there has to be nuances of the local language and figuring out how are we going to say X, not Y, and not violate, legal compliance stuff. For example, in the CBD space, there's a lot of things you have to be super careful about saying this a certain way or not saying that. And so just making sure the people who are actually going to be writing your ads and working on your team, get it and can do a good job.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. I was hoping that other question would come back to me, but it did not. But this has been so good. I think there's a lot of information here. How can people find you?
Yeah, our company website, stubgroup.com. You can hit me up on LinkedIn, John Horn, or Twitter at John Horn SP.
Awesome. Thank you, John. It's been nice talking to you today. I'm glad we got a good connection here.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.